lot going on this Wednesday. We'll get back to your calls in a minute. 888-808-1019. Mixing some football, the show rolls on. But the Yankees did win last night as well. And I didn't think of this until Sean told us this in the text chat. Technically, you know what? I'll let you describe it because you blew my mind last night and really got me thinking. And I was like, damn, Sean's got a point. Can you explain to Yankee fans while you and others who were at the ballpark last night actually witnessed Major League Baseball history?
In terms of the pitching aspect
of it. Yes,
okay.
Go ahead.
Yes, the Yankees with Rodon with two relievers combined to get 27 straight outs without surrendering a hit.
Wow.
That, in baseball definition, is the definition of a no-hitter.
I mean, it's not, but it is fascinating. Like, you witnessed 27 straight outs without a hit being recorded.
Wow. Yep.
And here's what's crazy, and tell me if you realize this. There was only one base runner after the first two batters of the game, and that was like a walk in the sixth inning.
Yes.
If that guy doesn't walk, it's 27 up, 27 down.
Which is even crazier.
Which reminds me of do you ever hear the Babe Ruth story?
That's bizarre.
Do you know the Babe Ruth story?
No.
All right, this is legendary. I got to bring this up. 1917, Babe Ruth's a pitcher. He walks the first batter on four pitches. He's pitching for the Red Sox. They're facing the Senators. Walks the first guy on four pitches.
Okay.
Yells at the umpire. Umpire throws him out of the game. Okay? Right away. A guy by the name of Ernie Shore comes in to replace him and retires the next 27 batters. And it was initially considered a perfect game, but it's not a perfect game because there was a walk, even if Shore retired 27
but
in a row.
But it was a combined no-hitter.
It is a no-hitter, yes.
Yeah.
And so that kind of...
But a combined no-hitter.
It's a combined no-hitter, yeah. Right. Even though he got all 27 outs. So you're... Not that you're right, you're not right, but it is interesting that you did witness 27 straight outs.
I think what happened last night...
God, the Twins suck against the Yankees.
They do.
Dude, it is so uncanny.
The kid that came out of the bullpen threw 97 pitches last night, too. He was just thrown to the Wolves. Last night, I think you witnessed something that baseball needs to change. It's so rare what happened at Yankee Stadium. I think baseball should institute the mulligan rule. I think if the only guy to get a hit for the team is the very first batter of the game,
you
it's like a golf mulligan.
You want a breakfast ball, basically.
27 up, 27 down.
That'll get canceled very quickly.
Last night...
Too soon?
Last night was a Yankee no-hitter, and that was a no-hitter. That's what happened. We had
a
mulligan first batter.
If the first batter gets a hit of the game, you're saying that can be a mulligan?
That's because at that point, if you get no hit from the rest of the time, it's 27 outs straight without a hit. That's the definition of a no-hitter.
But come on.
It's a mulligan no-hitter.
Let me tee up again. Hold on. That one was, I didn't have my coffee. Actually, you know what? I need a shot. Let's start over again, all right? That one didn't count. Nobody saw that,
exactly.
Right?
You shanked it. You shanked the first batter. After that, it's a no-hitter.
But, okay. What if you had a mulligan for the entire game, meaning what we saw at Citi Field last week, and there's, you know, an out or two in the ninth inning, you have a no-hitter. Let's say a guy gets a hit. Can you say, mulligan on that one, and then keep going, and then if you get a no-hitter?
No, I'll tell you why.
The guy gave up a hit.
Because if you're throwing a no-hitter and in that group, the pressure mounts. And I think the later you get into a game with a no-hitter, I don't think that counts as a mulligan. I think getting it out of the way the first batter and then going there, that's a pitching masterpiece. Last night was a no-hitter at Yankee Stadium.
Last night, it was not a no-hitter. But it was bizarre that leadoff hitter gets a hit, steals second, walk hit batsman. Mm-hmm. By the way, at that point, Sean is booing Carlos Rodon.
Well, I didn't even have a chance because I was on the world's longest Mighty Quinn's barbecue line.
Oh, so you weren't even watching it?
Yes.
So you saw a no-hitter because you didn't see a hit?
Well, in my seat, I saw 27 straight. I sat down on the fourth batter of the game in my seat with brisket dripping from my face.
Wow. Yeah, it was kind of crazy because Rodon loads the bases up to start the game, gets a strikeout, gets a force out, gets out of the inning only allowing a run, let's have a party. And then from then on, that was it. It was one base runner the rest of the entire game. So obviously it is not a no-hitter, but I will admit that was kind of cool.
Good try though, Sean.
It was a great try.
Valiant.
And I think if you were at Yankee Stadium, there were 37,000 people there last night. By the way, how many people were at Citi Field last night?
41?
39, I think it was.
41? Okay. I was guessing.
You could only draw 2,000 more than the Yankees person whose fans have quit on the team and they're playing the Twins?
Well, either way, you saw history last night if you're a Yankee fan. Because it is rare to see 27 straight outs. I will give you that.
And you also saw Giancarlo a triple away from the cycle. That's history as far as I'm concerned, too, with his
life. Yeah, but there's no way he's getting a triple.
Yeah,
no way.
When you're a triple...
Probably, that's how he gets hurt. It's not by playing right field. It's by trying to stretch a double into a triple.
And he doesn't. Like, he just runs at the same speed the entire time. When you're a triple away from the cycle, you're not close to the cycle. That's another baseball thing I have. If you are one away from the cycle and needing any other stat, even a home run,
just
you are close to a cycle.
But
But you were not close to a cycle when you need a triple.
They were close because Jazz tripled. So when you combine Giancarlo and Jazz, not only did we see a no-hitter last time, we saw a cycle.
How many triples does Giancarlo Stanton have in his career?
He has one as a Yankee in his career. And it's so long ago, the Yankees were on picks 11 the night it happened.
I'm sure, yeah, like,
Evan's right. He was not close to the cycle.
Yeah, it's not close. He has 11, by the way, in his major league career. Five of them in 2011 since he became a Yankee, to Sean's point, one. And the one triple was in 2018. So he has not had a triple in 7 years. Mm. Let's go to Anthony in Astoria. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Tiki, you were 100% right about DeGrom. Right before he signed, I was on vacation, and there was another relief pitcher. He will be renamed nameless because I don't remember who he was. But I had a deep conversation with him, and he basically said that, like, he was a farm kind of guy, and DeGrom was a farm kind of guy. He liked to hunt and do, you know, that kind of stuff on his personal time. And between that and the taxes, DeGrom wanted out.
Yeah.
He didn't say that per se directly, but he definitely meant it.
You could feel it. He didn't want to be.
But you guys are missing my point. Like, I'm not arguing that DeGrom may have preferred to move to Dallas or go to Texas. Right. My point to you is we never found out because the Met offer was reportedly 3 years, 120, while Texas went to 5, 185. I would argue, especially based on years, that's a significantly bigger offer, even if the AAV wasn't that much higher. The years were. And so you could tell me all day you didn't want to be here. The Mets never gave him a chance to say no.
That's because they didn't really want him.
Yes.
They didn't. They thought he was an injury risk.
They thought it was too risky to give him a five-year deal.
And that's not the case with Pete Alonso. He's not an injury risk.
No, it's different. The arguments against Pete are more going to be, well, he's turning 31,
it's an age risk.
Yeah. It's a different argument, but it's an argument that's going to be framed similarly.
Pete Alonso's built like a tank.
Okay.
It's not like he's in a tubby, out of shape, you know, non-athletic first baseman. Like he's put together.
But that's how teams viewed him last offseason, and that's some of the questions that I think teams have, like David Stearns is going to have. Why else are they not offering him a long-term deal?
I don't understand it from last year. I honestly don't.
Take this at face value. If you believe, I say this to any questioner of giving Pete a long-term deal, I'd ask them this question. Do you think if Pete maintained what he's pretty much been, which is a 240 to 260 hitter, 30 to 40 home runs, last year he wasn't clutch, this year he is clutch, I think he's pretty good defensively. If he's that guy, same guy, for the next 5 years, would that be worth giving him a five-year deal?
Yes.
Okay, if your answer is yes, then what are you? You're just concerned about, well, I think he's going to break down in 2 years. That would be your concern.
I don't think he's going to break down in 2 years.
Well, the Mets do. They didn't want to give him that kind of contract.
No, they didn't. The Mets just didn't want to, like, I don't know, compete against themselves in a contract. Like, what else? What's the conversation like? It's his agent saying we want the world, and them saying no. Okay, and then Steve Cohen says, well, show me what else you got. And his agent says, nothing. So it's like, okay, so what are we talking about?
Right.
So there was no competition. I don't know. It didn't make any sense for them to do it any other way than how they did it.
Let's go to Jason in Waterbury. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Evan Tiki, what's up, guys?
All's good.
Listen, Evan, you're going to dislike me for this, but I was listening to Sal. I want to get my DeGrom point in, too, so please don't hang up. When Mike was on with Sal, did you hear the whole conversation? Because at one point, he was going after the no-hitter, calling DeGrom's no-hitter. And I know that's why you're upset at him, right?
I said
it when he's right. It wasn't a no-hitter, was it? And then with DeGrom, we all know DeGrom didn't want to be here, bro. He sat on about $40 million a year for 3 years. That's good enough. If he wanted to be here, he would have took the deal.
All right, a couple of things. I'll repeat the same thing I just said 2 minutes ago because people don't listen. They just want to repeat the same thing. Maybe he didn't want to be here. The Mets never gave him a chance because the offer, in my opinion, was significantly less.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't hear that, fine. Let's just drop the subject then. Because if you don't want to acknowledge that that's my response, then the conversation is over. If you want to counter that with something, that's great. I was mad at Mike for what he said about Johan. I addressed that on the air. I said, I respect Mike. It hurt my feelings because of the respect I have for Francesa. And what I would say to Mike is, if you don't think the Johan no-hitter was real, I guess I ask you, were the Yankees winning in 96 real? because Jeffrey Mayer clearly interfered with a baseball. And I remember listening to Mike and Chris that night after the game. But my issue today is not with Mike Francesa. My issue today is with Christopher Mad Dog Russo. That's where my bark bites. So, do you have the clips ready? Because I want to address this one by one.
What garbage!
I love Doggy, but I want to take his little rant on ESPN. And by the way, before I rip Dog, the only reason I'd even play this is because I do respect him. There are plenty of people on ESPN, in fact, every single one of them, where I don't care what they say about the Mets. I don't care what they say about baseball because they don't know a damn thing.
I'm glad they were just talking baseball.
I understand. Well, Chris is talking baseball. Chris is allowed to talk baseball. Chris is a legend.
He's the only one.
Everyone else, don't hit me with your baseball talk. So before I rip Dog, I'm only playing it because I respect him, and that's why it bothers me, because of the respect I have for the man who used to sit here. Clip number one. Listen to Dog bitch about Pete Alonso. Go.
I cannot believe the big deal people are making about Pete Alonso being the franchise record holder now for home runs. He passed Darryl Strawberry last night. Nobody in Metville that I know, and I know a lot of Met fans, after a stretch where they've lost 11 of 12 and have allowed the Phillies to bury them in the NL East. Now we're going to make big deal about Alonso's home run, and I love Gary Cohen. Did you hear this call? This is a little over the top.
Okay, so now we're getting on Gary. First of all, Dog, you know Met fans. You know Bob Huesler. I think Bob cared about Pete hitting that home run. We don't talk very often, but I cared about Pete hitting the home run. And two things can be true. You can be frustrated with the team and the failures recently and acknowledge that a franchise that has been around for more than 60 years, you can mock the record all you want. This is our franchise. This is Huesler's franchise. This is Lugie's franchise. This is Beningo's franchise. This is our freaking franchise. We care about our history. You don't. You don't have to care about history. You care about Willie Mays. You should. You're a Giant fan. So you don't get the Met fan. There are some Met fans, not all, who cared about Pete Alonso breaking the single home run record, not single season, but the franchise home run record. We do care. So you're wrong. You're wrong because you're in your cocoon not talking to enough Met fans. That's number one. As far as Gary Cohen's call is concerned, I'll address that later. Clip number two.
You can't even tell me what the home run record was before this nonsense. This is ridiculous. And by the way, if the Mets love Alonso so much, why did they pay him in the offseason, for crying out loud? He was a free agent. They didn't want to pay him a nickel. He bounced around all over the place, and then he came back basically with his hat out. Please sign me.
Chris, I'm going to be very calm. What does Cohen and Stearns have to do with us as fans? We disagreed with them. Most Met fans wanted Pete back. So to say fans don't care and equate it to the way the front office handled the offseason doesn't even make sense. Now, the good news is no one on that dais knows about baseball, cares about baseball, or cares enough about this issue to push back.
Right. What did they do? Just nod?
They laughed. I like Peter Schrager, but he's just chuckling. That's a ridiculous comment. One thing has nothing to do with the other. That's number one. Number two, what I loved about Dog is he held everyone to a high standard on knowing history. Trust me, Chris, we all know Darryl had the record. You knew Darryl had the record. I know Darryl had the record. Everyone listening knows Darryl had the record. Joe knows Darryl had the record. Bob Huesler knows Darryl has the record. So stop acting like we're a bunch of idiots that we didn't know. We all did know that, and so did you. So just because you don't care... And I'm not asking Chris to care. I'm not asking Sean to care. They're not Met fans. I get it. But for Met fans, we are allowed to care about our own team's history. So, again, I love them. And the only reason I'm mad is because I do respect them. But you're wrong. You're wrong on every account. Now, let's get to Gary Cohen. He had an issue with Gary Cohen's home run call. You want to hear it?
I did hear it.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't hear it, Gary Cohen's home run call. Let's see if Dog was right to have an issue with it.
And Pete drives one to deep right center field, headed back toward the wall. It's a hill! And a hill! Pete Alonso stands alone! The polar bear on his own private iceberg! Pete Alonso, the most prolific home run hitter in New York Mets history!
My only issue is that it's corny. That's my only... The iceberg? Like, polar bear? But the double out of here, the excitement... Why can't he be excited about a franchise record?
Yeah. What's wrong with the call?
I thought it was good.
The only thing he needed to do was not say private. It was redundant.
The private island?
Private iceberg.
Oh, private iceberg. He didn't say island, thank God.
All he had to do was just leave out private, and it's perfect.
Why did the private bother you?
Because it was redundant.
Oh, because all icebergs are private?
Well, no, but if you're on an iceberg, like, who's hanging out on icebergs? So if you say iceberg, you think about, I mean, you think iceberg, what's the first thing you think about?
Ice?
Titanic,
oh, exactly. Mm-hmm. What is it? It's just floating in the middle of the Atlantic, North Atlantic Ocean, right?
A lot of times down in Antarctica, but that one, yeah.
Whatever, but if somebody's on an iceberg, they're probably by themselves.
I hate to get the semantics, though, Teak. I would think if it's a polar bear, you might get a couple polar bears on the iceberg.
Yeah, maybe some female polar bears are hanging there. You know, they have a couple beers.
I think polar bears are mostly solitary hunters.
They don't hang in a flock?
No. I don't think it would be a flock either
way. Well, whatever a group of polar bears would be.
I don't know. I don't know the history of polar bears.
So did you like the call or not?
I did like it.
No, you did.
I did.
I don't think there's an issue with someone getting excited.
What was dog's issue with it? Is what I don't
who
understand.
Who cares? I don't know any Met fans that care. Okay, I don't speak to any Met fans anymore. Nobody cares.
Let dog talk to his ESPN audience, and maybe they don't care about baseball.
They don't.
But, so it is what it is. So he's talking to an audience that they're probably like, yeah, go ahead, dog. You're right, man. I don't care about Pete Alonso. But in New York, we care.
I think that
Met fans care.
I can't say every Met fan cares, but I also can't say no one cares the way dog said it, because I think I'm a Met fan. I think I've got proper credentials as a Met fan. I care, Chris. Now, you don't have to respect that I care, but I care.
It's a record that got broken.
Bob Huesler cares. Like, there are Met fans that care about it. And
does Sal care?
Sal's interesting. I appreciate Sal's honesty. He didn't care, and then after it happened, admitted on the air today, you know, it was cool. So I think he eventually cared, like the moment happened and it was like, wow, okay, that's awesome. I really have an appreciation for it, which I think is a nice, honest response to it. Because sometimes you don't know how you're going to react to something in real time. Like, you have no idea. You know, I keep thinking about how I'm going to react to DeGrom's return. There's a chance I boo him. There's a chance after all this, after all the lip you-know-whatting I've done with Jake over the years, that when he shows up at Citi Field, I'm going to be like, you know what? Everyone was right. Screw him. And I boo him. I don't know. What? You got something else to say?
I just think you have major DeGrom anxiety right now. Keep going back to it and making the pee thing about it. That's I don't know. I just think you need to have
you need an intervention.
You want to know why?
Or something.
Do you want to know why, Teak?
About DeGrom? Why?
The DeGrom issues?
Why?
I got a little WFN flashback for you. I want you to hear Evan in his element. This is August 8th, 2022. This is Monday, August 8th. On Sunday, Jake returned for the first time in a year.
Mm-hmm.
He faced the Atlanta Braves. It was this emotional return. I was in the building. I canceled the family trip early. Needed to see Jake's return. I want you to hear a brief part of my open that day from Giants camp. I was doing the show with Chris Big Mac McMonagle because Carton was lazy and didn't do the show that day. Boy, I'm just killing Craig today for some reason. Here's the open. I want you to hear me in my emotion, and then maybe you'll realize why I'm broken.
Jake DeGrom needs to be a member of the New York Mets until he's dead. You understand me? Until he's in the ground.
Yep.
What I mean by that is you will re-sign him at the end of the season. I don't care if it's $50 million. I don't care if it's $60 million. And I don't need to hear from anybody say, what about his elbow? He throws too hard. If they pay him $60 million and he doesn't pitch and he isn't healthy, I'll live with that risk.
Right.
What I can't have is this beautiful, sexy man ever pitch for another baseball team ever. He cannot be a Brave. He cannot be a Yankee. He cannot be a Diamondback. He cannot be a Royal. He cannot be an Angel. You're supposed to stop me. He can't be a Ranger.
Stop there.
Thank you. He can't be anyone else.
Why did he stop me there?
Wow.
The reason I went nuts that day is because there was a lot of emotion the day before.
What happened the day before?
The day before was his return. And he hadn't pitched in a year, and the building was electric like you've never seen. And people told me, well, they'll obviously keep him because look at the way the fans reacted. In fact,
but he's a pitcher. And he was hurt, and he was constantly hurt. And he didn't want to be here.
Here's what Chris McMonagle said to me that day. I'll never forgive him for this.
That man needs to be a Met until he's dead.
He's perfection. And if you, and honestly, Steve Cohen's not Steve Cohen. The aura that has been projected by this owner is no longer there if he's not pitching for the Mets the rest of his career.
Oh!
I mean, that's it. I 100% agree with you.
Big Mac, I'll never forgive you for that.
There's a big difference.
What's that?
He didn't want to be here.
Oh, here we go again.
Pete Alonso wants to be here. There's that. That's the difference. Forget the agent and forget the conversation about how much money you're going to make. Do you want to be here?
I love being a Met.
Exactly. Exactly. And he's not going to break down. He's been one of the most reliable players in baseball. He's one of the, he probably is the best slugger, consistent slugger in baseball. Doesn't miss time like King Judge. Doesn't do anything. He's always there. Yeah, sometimes he has a down year, but he's always there. And if you let him stay, he's going to get 500 home runs. He's going to go in the Hall of Fame as a Met, and you're going to be crying in Cooperstown when you see your favorite homegrown Met finally make it there. That's what's going to happen because he wants it. Not because Stern or the fans or anybody, he wants it. So tell your agent to go scratch. I want to be a Met. That's what Pete Alonso needs to do. It's what he didn't do last year.
I think that's really profound, Tiki, except I think everybody's burying the lead of those clips.
What's that?
Which part? I said a lot of weird things.
You? We now know who to blame for the Yankees losing Juan Soto. Chris McMonagle.
Why? What did he do?
The aura around Steve Cohen is dead if they let Jacob DeGrom walk.
Oh, so he had to get it back?
He had to get it right.
How did Steve Cohen get big aura this offseason? By taking the Yankee star and giving him the most money,
so,
Chris.
The problem was he wasn't the Yankee star. He wasn't. I can't even look at Juan Soto and say, yeah, he was a great Yankee. He was a Yankee for a year.
You think
he had a great season as a Yankee.
He home run to send him to the World Series.
Okay, but he... Was Juan Soto a great Yankee?
Yes.
In the top five of all Yankees of all time.
Well, not of all time, but he could have been.
Of all Yankees of all time.
I believe he would have ended up.
Not would have. Is he?
Well, how could you say he only lasted 1 year?
That's my point.
But Steve Cohen stopped him from being that.
Sean, come on, man.
I think Sean's trying to suggest that Steve Cohen sat there before the winter meetings and said, you know that Chris McMonagle?
Yeah.
I want to really show him.
My aura's gone, Chris?
You questioned my aura because I let that stiff DeGrom go?
The Mets are Richard.
I gotcha. I'll take care of this. We'll come back with your calls at 888-808-1019. And is today the day Tommy Lou Gower concedes? How we doing? It's 3:30 on the Fan, Evan and Tiki. Now, we're going to be on TV early today because the Mets are having a big ceremony today for Pete Alonso. At 6:40, if you're going to a game tonight, be in your seat. They're going to have a ceremony. Now, I don't know what the ceremony is about. This is where I would agree. Why don't we wait till the season's over for the ceremony?
Right, yeah.
We're in the middle of the year. I think the ceremony last night, even though it wasn't a ceremony, but it was just everybody celebrating and Spencer Strider having to stand there like a horse's patoot waiting for everyone to get back in the dugout. I thought it was enough.
Right.
I think you could do a video tribute. So I don't know what the ceremony is. I'm certainly not going to be there to see it, even though I'm going to the game, because I won't be there at 6:40. But you have a chance to be there at 6:40 if you're going to tonight's Mets game. And I'd be curious to see what it is. But yeah, off the top. You know,
this is little brother
stuff. I don't think we need a ceremony.
Yeah, this is bad. It's a bad one tonight. You did it all last night. It's enough's enough now. It's 2:53. Let's go here. Let's move on with our lives.
I mean,
does
but
he have to participate?
Well, this
because I almost feel like it's going to be embarrassing
that if he has to take away from his pregame activities.
Not even that. Just you had it all last night.
Yeah.
Were they going to bring a surfboard out for him tonight?
It was an unbelievable win. Seemingly mastered the Braves and are starting to bury them, putting the nail in the coffin for their regretful and terrible season that they're having this year. What do you need to do again? And so, Pete, it just feels like overkill.
Yeah, I wouldn't do anything. If you just ask me, and I was a big proponent, I loved last night. It was awesome. It was great. Yeah. I'm happy for Pete. It was a moment I'll never forget. It would be in my Mets Bible, too, if it comes out. I don't need a ceremony the next day.
And I think that for Pete, if I was Pete, I'd be saying, this feels like look at me. And I don't need that. We're in the middle of a season. We still got to make the postseason.
And he has said that a lot.
We still got to win games.
When he's been asked about the home run chase, he's always put the team first. He's always given the best answers. So, I don't know. It's just not necessary. And it's not like it's drawing people. The Mets get 40,000 every night.
Yeah,
so they don't even need to.
But it could draw people in there earlier, buy a couple extra hot dogs, beers. Actually, if I was Pete, I'd use this as more leverage. You don't think my home run chase isn't a big deal? Now imagine me hitting 500. You give me a ceremony the day after, Stevie.
Oh, trust me. Scott Boras is going to use everything in those negotiations. You're going to be able to sell 500 home run t-shirts, all that kind of stuff. So if you're going tonight, want to give you the heads up. They're going to have the ceremony at 640. I don't think it's necessary. I think what Pete needs to do is like what this team needs to do, which is build off of last night. Last night was a great night, which featured some annoying things. Clay Holmes, you know, wetting the bed. Carlos Mendoza
gave up one run, so.
Excuse me?
Terrible.
One run, he gave up five runs. He blew a 5-1 lead.
I thought you were talking about to start the game. He gave up one. He was bad.
That's the first inning.
I know, but still, he stabilized.
No, he didn't. In the fourth inning, he like took his pants off. What are you talking about?
It's true.
And then worst of all, Carlos Mendoza doesn't go to Gregory Soto to face Matt Olson. Like it was honestly an abomination. But luckily, and this is a thing a good team can do, and hopefully the Mets will become a good team like they were the first month of the year.
Not with else starting pitching.
Well, but your offense can sometimes overtake starting pitching issues.
True.
When you have a game like, and I said that a lot throughout the season, like when their starting pitching would fail, I'd say, hey, you know, you're allowed to explode offensively. You're allowed to do that. And last night they did. And I thought it was really important when Lindor laid down that bunt with two outs and nobody on. Soto drew the walk. And Brandon Nimmo, who's been a mess, hit a very significant three-run home run. So what I want now as a Met fan is to build off of last night. The Pete stuff is great, but it's over. So I don't need ceremony. That's just me. Chris in Michigan. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
All's good.
What's up?
I don't know what the hell's going on. We had a Cinco de Fivo at 2 o'clock. I thought I was drunk or something. I'm not sure.
That was weird. It's all right.
Right. I haven't had anything to drink, but why am I drunk?
That's what I was wondering. I was like, what is going on? I mean, we got like bad Evan instead of bad Tiki today. I think you're trying to have a heel turn that's going to be as quick as Cena's. I'm not sure.
Oh, wow.
I am not heel turning. I'm telling you the truth. Mm. And the truth is something you guys will remember come December, which is Stearns and Cohen ain't playing patty cakes. They're going to make a deal that they think is right, not based on emotion. And I'm right about that. And everyone deep down knows I'm right about that.
I think you were looking at the moon too long last night, Evan. Here's what I got to say.
Yes.
Why can't we have both? Why can't it be good for business? And as well, you know, be what's best as a fan, because we all know Cohen's a fan. That's why we got the black jerseys back. That's why we got the statue of Seaver. You don't think he's going to long-term want to build a statue of Pete? And I mean, like, this is like a long-term investment. You get to build on all the upcoming home runs
Chris, so there's two things. One is very interesting, and that's the money that can be made off Pete being here long-term, which I'll get to in a minute with Tiki, because it is fascinating. The second thing is, and I've heard this a lot, he's a fan, he's going to want to build a statue, retire his number. I have not yet seen Steve Cohen overpay to keep a player because of that. Like, even Brandon Nimmo to me wasn't that. Like, Brandon Nimmo was even making that much money in the grand scheme of things. They just spread out his contract over a long period of time.
It's just a long deal.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily an overpay. It's just a long deal.
And I think ultimately they signed Nimmo because if you look at the market, they looked at their outfield at the time, center field, and said, how are we going to replace him?
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't seen what Chris described about Cohen being like, hey, I'm a fan. I can't lose this player. I haven't seen that.
Well, I don't think the combination of David Stearns and Steve Cohen is going to allow that to happen.
Which is my point.
You're not going to get a gross overpay. But I don't think you're grossly overpaying Pete Alonso. If you pay him for 4 years or 5 years at 30-plus, not significantly 30-plus, not close to 40, but $31, $32 million a year. And I think Pete wants to be here.
Yeah, I think the question on monetizing a home run chase years from now, like let's say he does challenge to get the 500, which is on the table, depending on the way the rest of his career goes.
Right.
I think that stuff is so far down the line, it wouldn't even be in his next contract.
No.
So when people talk about, well, what about the long-term benefits? I don't think that's the upcoming contract. Like, I think when Pete's 35 years old and his contract runs out, or one of his contracts runs out,
he's sitting at 420 home runs or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's different.
And then you say, I want to be here to finish my career, and I want to finish the story.
Yes.
I want to hit 500, and I want to do it as a Met. And by that point, he's probably already in the Hall of Fame.
I don't know. I don't know about that. Mm. But I do think that him chasing 500 as a Met, I do think would be a big deal, but that's a long time from now. It's not even the next contract, which is why I think the next contract is going to be more nuts and bolts. It's going to be just, hey, let's get down to brass tacks. What do we think and I don't feel this way about him, but I do think teams are going to view him as, what's this one-dimensional 30-year-old square-bodied fat-ass player going to get?
Everybody keeps saying that. He's not fat and square and out of shape. He's not that. When Pete Alonso sat next to us at the Cadillac Club when we were over there, whatever it was, a month and a half ago, he walked in. I'm like, dude, this dude looks like a linebacker.
Yeah. I saw a belly.
There was no belly. He looked jacked. I mean, humongous. So, like, I don't get what people are saying that he's just this dumpy athlete. He might be somewhat slow-footed, but he's not like a guy who's going to break down in 4 years. It just doesn't make any sense. People keep saying this, and I don't get it.
Zach is calling from Massapequa. Hey, Zach.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
So, spoke to you guys yesterday. I went to the game yesterday. What a moment. Absolutely unreal. I'm 25, so Pete Alonso, I mean, obviously I know David Wright, Jose Reyes, grew up with those guys. But from 18 to now, I mean, Pete Alonso's kind of been the face of the Mets for me. For example, this year, before we got Soto, so I got him on a discount, me and my buddy, we got season tickets.
Nice.
We would have to pay to get next year's season tickets before that decision ever comes out, right?
Yeah.
Of if he's going to stay or if he's going to go. But I'll tell you one thing. That following year, I won't be a part of it if he's not on the Mets.
Wow.
Like, that is how passionate I feel about Pete Alonso. And I'm not alone. A lot of people that are around my age that are investing in season tickets, you know, if you're going to spit in our faces, fans like that, I mean, Pete Alonso is my guy. I don't care if he's batting 230, 220 at the end of his career. He's not, everyone says, oh, he's fat, he's in bad shape, and all this stuff. You guys just touched on it, Tiki was saying. He's really not. He's not a Prince fielder. He's not one of these guys that are massively overweight. He still has an athletic look to him, you know? I don't look at him and say, dang, he looks like a regular person. Like, there's no chance.
You bring up, though, a very dangerous equation Steve's going to have to think about. If I'm wrong about him being, hey, I'm just a businessman, the contract isn't worth it. So let's go back to last offseason. The Mets signed Juan Soto. And I think that while Met fans would have been disappointed if they lost Pete, overall there was still going to be raw animalistic excitement about the 25 Mets because they were coming off a great year and they added Juan Soto.
And wasn't there a boost in season ticket sales?
There were 1,000%.
Right.
And remember, they didn't bring Pete back until well after all the season tickets had been sold.
Of course.
So the Mets last year had their chance to pass on Pete. And it would have gotten bad publicity. Like, yes, I would have screamed about it. Beningo would have screamed about it. But most Met fans were already excited about the year. It's going to be very difficult, if this is what Steve cares about, to have an offseason that elicits excitement if you lose the player. Because I don't see another Juan Soto walking through that door. First of all, I don't think Murakami would have that excitement, despite being a 25-year-old potential star. Mm-hmm. I don't even think as good of a player as Kyle Tucker is. And he's a tremendous player. Better than Pete. I don't even think he would bring that excitement.
No, because there's not the familiarity with him.
So even if they were the stone cold killers I think they are, they will have a tough time with fans and maybe drawing as well as they did this year if their offseason is really headlined by they lost Pete Alonso.
Right.
Their offseason, if they lost Pete Alonso this year, wasn't going to be headlined by that. It was going to be headlined by Juan Soto. So I do think that is a challenge that they're going to face if they lose the player. How do they go into the season exciting their fans? And look, they could very well say, we don't care. If we go out and win, it doesn't matter, which is true. But you may lose kind of that selling tickets early buzz that they had this year.
Right.
That's a factor.
I agree.
I admit that. Let's get Jim and Rye. What's up, Jim?
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show.
Appreciate it. What's up?
I'm looking at it. I agree with both of your perspectives. I think Cone and Stearns are clearly going to be looking at this from a dollars and cents. But I think one of the biggest issues, and not just athletes, but just people in general, is when they make a decision solely based on money, it sometimes doesn't end up being the best decision that they can make.
Agreed.
And I think that plays more to where you are in your career. If you're early in your career, I agree with you. Go and get every dollar you can get. But if you're a long-term Met like Alonso is, and you're later in your career, you've got something that when you're 60 and you're going to look back at, are you going to say to yourself, are you going to kick yourself in the butt and say, man, I really wish I stayed with the Mets and hit these different milestones with them as opposed to going to Chicago or wherever and had a nice career there? And I think a lot of players kind of miss that. I mean, if somebody asked Robinson Cano, was he happy with signing with all that money and then going to Seattle and everybody forgot about him?
Sure.
Or would he have preferred to stay with the Yankees
but,
for all
but,
those
but
years?
The problem, like, it's a great point, but the money's got to be close. Mm. Like, Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah, but don't you think it will be?
No, I'm not convinced of that. Not if a team overpays for him.
How many first basemen prior to Pete hitting 30 were over 30? The answer is none, right?
But,
so why now, all of a sudden, with Pete Alonso coming off this whatever it is, whatever the season turns out to be for him in the
Mets. So far, a better year than last.
Of course. But why now are they going to say, all right, we're going to pay you 40? It doesn't make sense.
Because I think
no matter what happens, it's going to be close.
Because circumstances change. He doesn't have a pick attached to him. There are certain teams that are more equipped to spend money this offseason. I just think circumstances change. But his point about you're better off staying with your team. I mean, he's obviously right about that in a lot of cases that we don't even bring up. We bring up Robinson Cano, it's in our backyard. We bring up Darryl Strawberry, it's in our backyard. What about A-Rod? And I'm not talking about the Yankees. I'm talking about Seattle. Like, if Alex Rodriguez re-signed in Seattle, the same organization that traded Ken Griffey Jr., mm-hmm. that traded Randy Johnson, and he was their guy for the next 20... He didn't even need to win a World Series. He'd have been an icon there. But you know why he didn't stay in Seattle? Because they didn't even make a comparable offer. So we could sit here all day and go back to A-Rod's free agency. Yeah, who did make comparable offers?
You leaving Seattle, you mean, and going to Texas?
It was Texas, and the Mets didn't even make one. Who else was there?
Because that money then was so ridiculous. It made no sense.
But all it takes is one, Teague.
Oh, I understand that.
That's what I'm saying. It's not going to be A-Rod money, but all it takes is one.
Yeah, but there was the CBT wasn't the same then. And so, like, there wasn't a consequence. You knew Texas was going to eventually do what they ultimately
did. But no one else bid on him on that level is my point. You're right. It was a different world, but he had no choice but to go to Texas. He had no choice. Where was he going? No one was even coming close.
But is Pete Alonso getting that kind of offer this offseason?
Don't get lost in the offer. All it takes is one team to make a better offer than everyone else, and he's gone.
But I don't think there is one team that's going to make that kind of offer. I just don't think there is.
You never know.
I know I don't know.
And I'm not confident the Mets are going to match that, because to quote Tiki Barber, this is what you said about David Stearns. Mm-hmm. You said to me, Evan, he's a killer. Remember saying that about him? He's a killer.
But mostly with pitchers.
Wow, that's true. He is a killer. You know
not,
what?
Not with iconic position players.
Well, we haven't seen that yet, though.
I know. This is his first chance.
But we haven't seen him say, we haven't seen him prove that he is any different.
Pete Alonso is going to finish this season with 42 home runs, going to have 130 RBIs. He's going to help the Mets get to the postseason, be clutch as he was a year ago, and who knows what happens. It doesn't matter. But you're going to leave this season and say, man, I'm glad. Pete Alonso is expendable to our future. That doesn't make sense to me. Because he's not expendable.
No, I agree. They're better off with him here. Do you think that today is the day that Tommy Lugauer should concede?
Concede?
Mm-hmm.
What is he conceding?
You know what he's conceding. Sometimes around here we make bets.
Yes.
We make predictions. And we all have to take our lumps. I've taken my lumps plenty. We've all taken our lumps.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you should concede.
Oh, you already know what it is?
I do now.
Look, I think I've made it very clear.
Three and two-thirds is just not...
Tommy DeVito is interning with the Giants right now. He's doing very, very well. You speak often about it.
So, for those that are not aware of what I am inferring to, I want to play a clip from December of this past year. Mm. Sean Morash and Tommy Lugauer were debating and fighting who would have a better season, Max Fried or Clay Holmes. And eventually, Tommy came to agreement on what he would give Sean if Fried had a better year. So you will hear Tommy confirm what he has to do, plus the terms of the bet that I think are crystal clear.
Sit in the bleachers with Keith, with the shirt that whatever, warm up to Keith's show during a Yankee Met game.
Now, what stat do you want? You want to use ERA, or is that not fair?
It can't be wins, so it's got to be something more tangible.
Do we do war?
Tangible.
War?
They're both
starting pitchers.
Yeah, I think it's got to be starters ERA. Starters ERA.
With a minimum of innings pitched here?
How about it's three categories, winner take all?
So best two or three?
So it's best two or three.
I like it.
ERA, okay. Innings pitched, and whip. Those are your three.
All right.
Is that fair?
I think that's actually fair.
There you go.
I think you need to add a disqualifier, though. If you pitch, if you get less than 15 starts, you're disqualified.
Yeah, I think that's fair because you do need to pitch a full season,
right? Okay. Or at least half of it.
But I think you lose. Like, I think if Max Fried gets hurt and Clay Holmes pitches a full year,
that's part of the argument.
I kind of give Tommy the win.
Yeah, of course.
No, he's right. That's part of the argument.
That's what I mean. So there's got to be a cutoff, like a qualifier.
What do you think that qualifier should be? 15 starts?
15 starts.
Okay.
If you don't get the 15, you haven't had a real season.
There you go. Very good. Well, just so we know, they've all cleared 15.
Yep.
In fact, both Max Fried and Clay Holmes have each made 24 starts.
Mm-hmm.
Through 24 starts, Max Fried, 144 innings. Clay Holmes, 126. Same amount of starts, 18-inning difference. When it comes to whip, Max Fried, 1.09. Clay Holmes, 1.34.
Mm.
When it comes to ERA, Clay Holmes is now up to 3.71. Max Fried is at 2.94. And just because Sean mentioned war, Clay Holmes won.
Mm.
Max Fried, 2.9.
Mm.
This is a landslide. That's why on August 13th, Tommy Lugauer, are you ready to concede?
I am not ready to concede at all. In fact, I'm super confident. Because now give me Max Fried's numbers over the last couple months.
He hasn't been good, but what about Clay Holmes' numbers over the last month?
By the way, we should have added another qualifier.
Yeah.
If one of them gets moved to the bullpen, then it's over.
Well, I think what's clear in the clip is it's starters ERA. So if Clay gets moved to the bullpen,
which is a possibility.
We got to get into this because I think it's complicated, but you're right. It certainly is with the way you pitched last night. Your ERA would be frozen at 3.71. Now, you're right. Fried's trending in the wrong direction. So is Clay. But even with that bad trend, these numbers are just...
I mean, but it would have to be colossal implosion from Max Fried.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
From an ERA standpoint.
Let me put this in terms you would remember because it wasn't that long ago. It's 10 o'clock at night and you're Kamala Harris. I mean, it's over.
Well, like, hold on a second.
You could be told, wow, this could
be. We're doing very well in the whiff rate. My people are telling me the greatest in history. Never been seen before, ever. Fried's numbers continue to go down. If Holmes, when he picks it up, I will be leading all these categories. Max Fried had an under 2 ERA. He's got like a 3 ERA now.
If Max Fried stopped pitching, like today, he's just like, I'm done. How many starts would it take for Clay Holmes to get to the 18 innings he trails Max Fried?
Quick math here. Four. Four.
It's over, bro.
It's not over
until
it's over. I'm not going to concede. First of all, conceding is a what's the word I want to use here for a bet? It's a wimpy thing to do.
Yeah.
You got to ride this bad boy out. I think if I was, let me put it to you this way. If I was in Sean's position right now, I wouldn't want me to concede. Who would want me to concede? You want it to go down to the wire. You want to see it sweat out. I think the audience deserves that, too. They're following along with it.
Here's the problem, Tommy. By not conceding, you're kicking the can down the road. If you concede now, we can get you in Yankee Stadium.
No,
and we can pay it off.
That's not what is in the clip, and that's not what was agreed to. It was a Subway Series game in the bleachers with me and Keith, and I assume you're going to be there. I know BT wanted it, whatever. All the Yankee fans, whoever wants to come, McMonagle, he can't sit a play out. So everybody that wants to be there can be there. And if I had won, you were going with the 7 line, who love us, for a Subway Series game, and you would sit with the fanny pack people.
Is it worse for you to be at a non-Subway Series game than a Subway Series game? Because if Sean gives you the out to go to Yankees Twins tonight just to get it over with.
Yeah.
I don't want to get it over with. I want to ride it out, and then if I lose, I will agree.
You should do it when it's beautiful.
I also...
Like, seriously, think about this. It's 90-something degrees right now. By game time, it's going to be 79. Chill, have a beer.
But it's a Yankee Met bet. No, but that's why it should be at a game. Subway Series.
If we could be real about this for a second, the Yankees and Mets at Yankee Stadium next year, I think it's like 95% chance they're going to play the weekend of September 11th next year.
I've heard the same. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We are going to pay off this bet over 13 months from now.
Yeah, it's
Tommy.
A year from now, bro. Yeah.
Come on.
Well, listen.
Be a little real.
Roman Reigns beat Cody Rhodes at the first WrestleMania. I agree. Evan would agree that it actually was the right thing to do because it allowed to build the storyline up. And you never know what the twists and turns. We could double down on it. We could do a lot of different
things.
You
know what the concern I think Sean has is? Obviously, Max Fried is going to win this bet this year. I just went through the numbers.
Well,
it's over.
It's not over, but
there's just no way that Clay Holmes is going to rejuvenate unless he's hurt and goes on the IL or something.
Yeah, it would
and rest and chills for a little bit.
But even then, he would lose the innings pitch argument. That one would be gone.
Right.
I think the only way Clay could win this is if Fried just absolutely implodes, or gets hurt.
Or gets hurt.
No, right. But I think he needs the implosion to bring the ERA up.
Oh, I see.
Gets hurt, and then Clay dominates, which doesn't feel likely. But I think the problem we're running into is it's over. Freed's going to win. Next year, if Clay has a better year than Freed, he's going to go there kicking and screaming, saying, but what about this year? What about this year? Well, the bet is 2025. It's not 2026.
And I made a bet earlier in the year that the Mets would not fall out of first place the rest of the year.
Remember that one? You son of a B.
I made the bet. Okay, and I believed in my
Not
Mets.
Only have they fallen out of first place, they're five games back. Right. They did pick up a game last
but
night.
But the point being, you guys left me no option of when I had to pay off. I paid off the bet in April of this year because it was the NFL draft. That is how quickly I lost the bet.
All right, well then next time, dummy, when you set parameters and negotiations, don't give me the option of picking where I want to do it. I said it in the clip where it would be. You should have said, oh, hold on, Luke. If you're down and out and it's August and it's over, then you have to go to a Twins game with Sean or with Keith, whoever.
Also,
we said Subway Series.
We do need to create that T-shirt that he's the host of the Keith McPherson warm-up show.
I like that.
Which
was be done.
A part of this bet, that you have to wear that shirt while at Yankee Stadium watching a game. Either way, the Freed Holmes bet is over. And the Mets do have a Clay Holmes problem because that was, like, I'll accept the five innings, two runs. Like, I'm good with it because I think we forget what the
That's actually not a bad start for him.
No, I agree.
Given this is his first year as a full-time starter.
I agree. And I also think that, and we talked about this yesterday, to me, I put more of the onus on Senga and Manaea to go deeper into games more than I do Clay Holmes. He's a back-of-the-rotation starter. But what he did yesterday is unacceptable. That can't happen. And I think the trouble that the Mets are in right now is they've already pulled Frankie Montas. Nolan McLean is going to make that start on Saturday, which is awesome. And they kind of need Clay Holmes for now. He's going to pitch Sunday in the Little League game. Then they got a stretch of games where they play every single day. Like, I think they almost have to throw Clay out there every 5 or 6 days because unless they were willing to throw another young pitcher in the rotation.
Which they might.
They could. It's risky.
But, I mean, why not at this point? What's the alternative is Clay Holmes.
Yeah.
And that's uncertain. That's just as uncertain. Actually, it's probably more uncertain because you don't know. You know he's only going five.
So you'd pull him?
And then you don't know if he's going less than five.
So you'd move him to the bullpen?
Not move him to the bullpen yet, but the problem is you get a numbers. It becomes a numbers issue with the pitching. With the number of pitchers.
I know. And not to get the weeds on it, but you're right. Like the roster construction becomes a problem.
Right.
What I would do right now with Clay Holmes, because they don't need him in the bullpen. This is a very deep bullpen, so it's not like what we thought about 3 weeks ago when we actually debated this, and I was like, man, they could use him. Well, yeah, they went out and traded for Ryan Helsley. They went out and they traded for Tyler Rogers. What I would do is I'd give him the month. I'd give him the rest of August. I think that's about three or four more starts. When we get to Labor Day, I think we got to reevaluate based on Nolan McLean.
Well, it changes then because you can the roster expands.
The roster, but it only expands by two spots.
True.
It's not like the way it used to be.
But it could be, but it's going to be a pitcher's.
Yeah,
right?
Well, one pitcher. You can only do one pitcher. Right. But I think that based on the way McLean pitches, the way McGill pitches, who may be on his way back, the way even Sproat pitches if he gets a call, and the way Holmes pitches, I would say this to Clay. I'll give you another couple of weeks. Come September, if you ain't cutting it, you're out of the rotation.
I just don't know how it's getting better in a couple of weeks when it seems like he's worn down right now.
I know. No, it's concerning because it's getting worse. Mm-hmm. That's part of the problem. We'll get more into the Yankee situation as they won again last night, and they continue to do things to the Minnesota Twins that don't even feel human. I'll explain how I'm going to equate that to Tiki Barber's NFL career when we come back. 888-808-1019.